Hey folks, I'm here today to tell you about Visible. Something unfortunate about wireless services, what you see isn't always what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. No perception check required. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. If you're looking for a carrier that is upfront with no hidden fees, then go to Visible.com to make the switch. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save, and you're going to be getting unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Visible is the wireless carrier that's constantly operating from a zone of truth. In their quest for total transparency, Visible wants you to know the monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com.
Refresh the summer vibes with Tic Tac and you could win a Lollapalooza VIP experience in Chicago. Visit TicTacSummer.com for a chance to win. No purchase necessary. Open to legal residents of 50 U.S. states and D.C. 18 plus. Ends June 30th, 2024. Void in PR and where prohibited. See TicTacSummer.com for rules and free entry without UPC.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Dungeon Cast. I'm Brian.
And I'm William.
This is the podcast where we talk about everything Dungeons and Dragons.
And today we're talking about Yokelols.
Welcome, adventurers, to the Dungeon Cast.
What's up, Brian?
Hey, Will.
How you doing?
This name of this creature, it's a creature, right?
It's very a creature.
Very meme-y.
Yes, it is. It's very meme-y. The Yokelols.
The yokels, almost like yokels.
Almost like yokels, but not.
But not though. But Satan's friends, though.
Wait,
are these demons or devils?
They are demons.
Oh, and we're back.
Yes, we are back. In the year of the fiend, it continues.
That's right, and it's almost done.
Kind of. Yeah, we're getting close. We're getting quite close. In fact,
it's the holidays.
Yep. And we are making up for lost time by doing two fiendish episodes in a row. You know that we talk a lot about Archdukes of Hell and Demon Lords of the Abyss on this show. Mm-hmm. But did you know that there were also gods who fraternize with fiends?
It sounds like lots of people fraternize with fiends. So gods, like good? Good aligned gods?
No, not usually. No,
okay,
definitely not.
You're not good if you're doing demon shit.
Fraternizing with fiends, no.
Right.
And some of these gods even dwell in the Abyss.
Ooh.
And that some of these Abyss-dwelling gods are actually goddesses.
So when you say gods,
they're gods.
Not demon lords.
Well,
but they're in the Abyss.
Both, but I think the god part supersedes it.
I see. Okay.
Yeah, and one particular abyssal goddess has her own bespoke species of demon that serves her and only her.
Oh,
that's right. If you haven't figured it out, this is a Lolth episode.
I was gonna say it's like Zugtomoy and Lolth, pretty much.
Yeah,
but
Zugtomoy's not a goddess.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because that's right. In the Abyss, all gods are demon lords, but not all demon lords are gods.
I think that tracks. I don't know if it's 100%, but I think it is the case with Lolth for sure.
Anything can happen in the Abyss as long as it's evil and chaotic.
Indeed. Specifically, it's an episode about her greatest demonic servants, the Yokelol.
Holy shit, Lolth's back.
Lolth's back.
Well, sort of.
So Lolth is both a fiend and a goddess, and she commands as many hordes of demonkind as any other self-respecting demon lord. But that wasn't enough for her. She also had to go and create her own special one-of-a-kind, only to be found in her layer of the Abyss, Secret Service Demon.
Oh, yes.
So let's get into it.
I would love that.
Yeah. Yokelols are a species of demon famously known as the Handmaidens of Lolth. They have four different forms that they can take at any time. Ooze form, humanoid form, spider form, and gaseous form.
Okay, they can switch between them?
Yep, they can switch between them.
Ooze
at will.
Form, activate.
Yeah, exactly. In their natural form, Yokelols is their ooze form, standing on average 6 to 7 feet.
Oh, 1.8 to 2.1 meters.
Tall, and roughly 250 pounds.
That's 113.3 kilograms, folks.
Their yellow, oozy bodies seem to be constantly melting and piling back up like a sickening living candle. Adding to their foul appearance is the fact that their waxy exterior constantly effuses a wretched stench. Unlike their oozes, unlike other oozes that tend to be oblong or amorphous in shape, Yokelols are more visually akin to ropers with eight writhing, powerful tentacles and a pillar-like main body with a singular, sinister scarlet eye in the middle.
Ropers are scary.
Ropers are scary. So we haven't really talked about them on the show.
If Jewablex wasn't so lazy, he'd probably be mad about this, huh?
Probably, actually. He'd probably be like, what the fuck?
Hey, you're fucking cramping my style over there with the ooze stuff. Come on.
Next up, we have their most seen form, Yokels can take on the appearance of an attractive, slender, human or elven female, most commonly that of a drow.
Yeah, that tracks because Loth.
Yeah, and they are all female. Yokels are all female, by the way. This form is unique to each Yokel and cannot be crafted in such a way as to replicate other individuals. The humanoid form of a Yokel is often slightly taller than the average members of the race that they're mimicking. Also, a Yokel cannot morph clothes and thus needs to tend to keep a pair nearby when entering this form.
So if you're tuned in to the demon shit and you're like, that drow looks kind of tall.
Yeah, exactly.
Suspicious.
Yep, indeed.
All right.
Due to their incredible ability to mimic her chosen people, the drow, the Queen of Spiders often has these eight-limbed abominations infiltrate drow societies completely undetected.
Okay, so they're just hanging out. Yeah. Got it.
Spying.
Right.
And probably
right.
causing secret ruckus. Service. Because she causes ruckus amongst her people all the time.
Just for the fucking thrill. For the chaos. Lulls,
if you will.
For the lulls. For the yokels.
For the yokels. The third form a yokel.
Somebody kill us.
Yeah. Third form of a yokel could take is that of a giant arachnid with a leg span of 8 feet.
That's 2.4 meters.
And weighing roughly 160 pounds.
Which is 73 kilograms, folks.
So they tend to weigh. Do they tend to weigh more when they're in ooze form? They do. They weigh more in ooze form.
That's weird.
I guess so. Maybe it's more compact.
Yeah. It's all the same. You know, when you're a body, you have your bones are a different weight than your muscles and stuff, I guess. You have to, like,
I don't know.
Lighten up some of your mass. Whatever, bro.
Yeah, specifically, this form tends to strongly resemble a massive black widow with a pair of dangerous fangs.
Cool.
Finally, Yokels can take on a gaseous appearance. This form is a green cloud of murky smoke, vaguely similar to that of its true form. It has the same pillar-like body, but slightly larger, 10 feet.
That's 3 meters.
High, and 5 feet.
Which is 1.5 meters.
Wide in diameter. It can also manifest several pseudopods at will, and their oily vapor in this form is still just as malodorous as the reeking of their sludge form.
Now, what would a pseudopod that came out of a gas cloud look like?
I don't know. I really don't know. Here
it's just a fucking fist comes out of the gas and punches you in the
well
face.
I imagine the pseudopod is still gaseous, right? So
sure.
how much damage is it going to do if it pseudopods you,
right? Does the damage change between form? I guess we'll find out in the back half of this episode.
Maybe
stay tuned
will.
For the stat
maybe
block
we will
maybe yeah who yeah. knows what they actually detail in the stat block.
Yes,
it doesn't always reflect the
yeah,
lore.
This is a 5e monster manual stat block, which is notorious for not
for stripping away
cool many
stuff.
Of the things. Yes.
Okay.
Yokels are most often found in their abyssal layer of origin, the demon web pits. Mm-hmm. Within it, they commonly serve as Loth's enforcers, scouts, and appropriately as actual handmaidens to the demon queen. When on other layers of the abyss, they are normally in disguise performing espionage on other demonic powers.
Interesting.
Because most demons, including demon lords, are aware that Yokel exclusively work for Loth, they normally give them a wide berth. The Spider Queen's minions are only interfered with rarely, as Yokel have an immensely close relationship to their master and are allowed to roam the layers of the abyss uninhibited. Now, this I find very interesting.
Okay.
So, what the lore says is that since other demon lords know that Yokels can't be recruited, they only work for her, and they're super close to her. Mm-hmm. Like she takes her relationship with them seriously. They don't fuck with them. What that tells me is that demon lords, and I suspected this for a long time, I just never saw it written down. Demon lords are scared of Loth because Loth is fucking stronger than any of them.
Yeah.
Like, I think this goes without saying, Loth is stronger than any other demon lord because she is both a demon lord and a goddess. So they don't fuck with her. And she mostly doesn't fuck with them because she's not really interested in the blood war and all that other stuff.
While I take umbrage with this statement, I can see on paper what you mean.
Yeah, absolutely. Moving on. Only
shout out to Demogorgon.
Shout out to Demogorgon. Only high priestesses of the Queen of Spiders are given the ability to summon a Yokel to the Prime Material Plane. And they are only supposed to call upon in dire need or to witness sacrifices in the name of the Dark Goddess.
You guys want to come watch some sick shit?
Yeah.
This is,
of course, when they are not infiltrating drow civilizations, whether in the open or in secret.
Who's free right now? You guys on spy missions? Nah? All right, let's go see some sick shit.
Indeed. Loth also uses Yokels to spy on the drow and ensure they are worshipping her properly. They also work under drow matrons, either as assassins, advisors, or even lovers in some case.
Quintus.
Yokels are also used as a direct channel of communication to and from the abyss. Some of Lolth's most faithful believe they will be reincarnated into Yokel if they devote themselves to her completely.
I pray to my god so I can one day hope to be slightly taller.
Yeah, sure.
Or a gas cloud.
Powerful, prestigious, and beloved of Lolth.
Right.
Like, Lolth doesn't like most anything that isn't her. It seems like she does have an actual, what's the word I'm looking for? Not affinity, but a soft spot for the Yokels. Like, they mean something to her.
They sound like an extension of her.
Yeah, and we're going to get
into... Not quite her, which is why she doesn't love them the same.
Maybe that's it.
Okay.
Yokels are behavioral anomalies in the ranks of demonic beings, in more ways than one, really. But one particularly odd way is that although they delight both in cruelty and combat and relish domination of other creatures, they are also known to make genuine friendships. These friendships are almost always with either each other or with charismatic mortals, because due to their status as Lolth's chosen, other demons... types hate and fear them on a deep and visceral level. Further exasperating the demonic hatred is the fact that by decree of Lolth, all are forbidden from harming a Yokel.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's weird. Like, they actually have the capacity of friendship despite being demons.
All right. That is quite strange. That's much different than I've come to know demons.
Mm-hmm. More than just friendship, Yokels seem to be capable of even falling in love with other individuals. However, Yokels tend to have a bizarre, duplicitous, contradictory, and even backward outlook of their relationship.
I was going
to
say, what does that love look like?
It's not great.
It's abusive.
So, for example, Yokels have a strong tendency to abandon partners whose acquaintances are accepting of the fact that they are a Yokel.
What?
Yeah.
Hold on, what?
Yes. So if they are in a relationship with somebody and that somebody's people know they're a Yokel, but they're totally chill with it, Yokel is going to bounce.
You're like, how are you just okay with me?
Yeah, basically.
Oh, God.
So, and yet, if their lovers, friends, and family are unaccepting and even persecuting of them, they will be driven to cling to the relationship and will, of course, furiously vent their anger on these perpetrators.
They want the animosity. They want the drama.
They want the drama. Some theorize that Yokel act this way because they enjoy the downfall of these individuals under the burden of their relationship.
Uh-huh.
You know, they are demons.
Yeah.
But oddly enough, Yokel never betray, lie to, or harm their lovers, and they have a tendency to go into a rage when their lovers die.
I know you don't understand my new girlfriend, Mom, but she loves me. She would never cheat, never lie, never steal.
Yeah, exactly. So another oddity about them is that unlike other demons, they do not have rivalries amongst their own kind. This is because they do not view one another as competition. They readily and eagerly cooperate with other handmaidens, uniting together under a common goal to serve Lolth. Unless enemies of Lolth are present, Yokels do not engage in killing sprees or frenzies of mindless violence.
So that's a big difference from the Drow, right? Because they have this hierarchy and they're in fierce competition, like, constantly.
That's very true. And that's because that's the way Lolth has set it up.
Right. Yeah, but she wants that. But the Yokels don't obey those hierarchies.
And that's not how she set it up with them. They are a union. They are unified.
Yeah, they are one.
Mm-hmm.
They're one amorphous blob or just, like, whatever shape, I guess.
Yeah,
whatever form they choose.
Ironically, despite their ability to get along with their own kind and even other mortals, they are contemptuous of other demons and do not associate with them if they can all help it. This includes them being completely ambivalent about the state of the Blood War, which is not surprising because I'm pretty sure Lolth stays completely out of the Blood War and does not care about it at all.
That tracks.
Yeah.
Like, why put resources into that?
Yeah,
it's
like,
handled, dude. There's so
she's
many.
Like, I happen to be in the Abyss, but I don't care about the Abyss.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, Lolth does her own shit.
Yeah, exactly. And yet, another oddity about Yokels is that unlike most demons, they need food to survive, at least every 20 days. Their food can take the form of either gas and liquid, but most prefer blood above anything else.
Oh.
Furthermore, Yokels have a clear preference for living prey.
Okay, so are they just like
vampiric? They slurp people up, yeah.
They're slurping the whole
like a spider would.
Or, yeah, like they're vampiric, right?
Yeah.
Like, in that way. So,
yeah.
Well, I know in D&D, there's like strict differences of what a vampire is.
But yeah,
like,
yeah. But
in the more traditional sense, they're eating the blood of their prey.
Yeah.
So does that mean they're farming it or do they have to slurp up the whole?
I kind of get into it here. So eating is done normally in their humanoid form. By envelopment in their natural form, you know, like a noose would.
Mm-hmm.
And by absorption in their gas form.
Okay.
In any state, the bones and other hard matter is left behind, either harmlessly and quickly pushed out in ooze form, or simply falling to the ground when in gaseous form, or, you know, not consumed in the humanoid form. So
got it. Just left on the table. All right. Yeah.
For a long time, it was unknown how Loth created her handmaidens, with only rumors circulating among planar travelers. But as it turns out, it is through a series of unknown tortures and dark ceremonies. Loth created the Yokel from succubi that she captures from other layers of the abyss. These newly created Yokel remember nothing of their former life and are completely loyal to their new mistress, although it is unknown if this loyalty is programmed in or simply due to extreme fear. I think it's programmed in.
It sounds like it's programmed.
That's
like
what it feels like to me.
These are constructed consciousness.
They seem like truly devoted and loyal. They don't seem like they like serving out of fear. This process does not need to be conducted by Loth herself, but she and her closest consorts are the only ones with knowledge of how to conduct it. If the secret were to leak and spread throughout the abyss, there would be nothing stopping Yokel from being created by other demon lords as well.
Oh, okay. That would be so some crazy formula. Shit.
Yeah.
Go in there and get the secret Krabby Patty formula.
Indeed. The abilities of a Yokel are all dependent on their current state, but some are consistent throughout their various forms. Within seconds, they can transform from one form to any of their other forms. At all times, Yokel are protected from having their minds read or alignment sensed.
Now hear me out.
Yeah.
So Loth is Mr. Krabs and Mordenkainen is Plankton, and he has to go in and get he wants to make Yokels, right?
Yeah.
That would be
I mean,
epic.
Why Mordenkainen though? I'm curious.
He came up in the Mephistopheles episode about like spying on people.
But
I don't know. He seems like the kind of dude
I
that
picture
would do that
other
type of
demon
shit.
Lords being like that though.
Can they? Would they?
I mean the right one would. I'm sure Baphomet is a great example of a Plankton.
Sure.
Because he's always trying to create new beasties. And like Loth has her own new super loyal, very effective beasties that only she can make. And he probably wants to know how.
That's a cool. I'm looking at it from a D&D perspective where we like structure a campaign like. So I'm thinking of more of like a player to DM.
How do we send the players on a mission?
Via Mordenkainen. Or somebody like Mordenkainen. Sure. Or I don't know.
And Graze. Igwilv is another one.
Exactly. Do we have to be careful about what we now know about Igwilv and her current 5e state? Because we were big on the Igwilv episode talking about the spoilers for Wild Beyond the Witchlight.
Yeah, I mean,
should I be? I feel like I should be careful to be like.
I think until it is actually published in like a source book instead of an adventure module. I think we should be spoiler averted.
Okay,
if you will.
Okay.
A slew of magical and psionic abilities make Yokel dangerous foes. Charming and domination magic, as well as the ability to read minds, make them incredibly difficult to socially outgun them. In all their corporeal forms, they are somewhat spider-like, able to create webs, navigate them, and climb on walls. If in particular danger, there is a half chance that they can call a second Yokel for aid to escape their threat. With the favor of Loth, Yokel have minor divine protection from harm, making them even more difficult to injure than your average demon. In either humanoid or true form, a Yokel's touch is as venomous as that of spider's fangs. Within their arachnid form, their true fangs are laid bare and it's far easier for them to use their more spider-like powers. While in the form of a toxic mist, Yokel are capable of flight and slipping through any airtight space. They can fly near living beings and force them to breathe their noxious forms, causing them deadly illness.
Right.
They cannot be harmed in this state by non-magical weapons.
So, like, why not always be the gas? Like, when you're doing spy missions, sure, but, like...
Well, when you're interacting with... If you want to interact with something physically, you can't, I think, is
yeah, but when you're in a fight or whatever...
I think, it's probably advantageous, but maybe they're limited in all their other abilities.
Yeah, like, you can't be a gas underwater.
And you can't be a gas and cast spells, maybe?
You're just a Yokel bubble.
Yeah. Nasty.
You're just a fart bubble under the sea.
Yep, we're back to farting in the Underdark.
Yes, I was thinking a lot about the Underdark for this particular thing.
So maybe that's why they don't become gaseous forms that much, because a lot of times they're in the Underdark, and as you know, as has been established on the show, don't fart in the Underdark.
Do not fart there. You will be found and killed.
You will, yeah. So, in either humanoid or true form, a Yokel... We already read that.
Yep.
I'm on my last one. Furthermore... Many Yokel train to enhance their abilities, often as priests or sorcerers, but most often as bards. Bards are often welcome in the halls of nobility, furthering the Yokel's infiltration ability. Remember, they can turn into humans too.
Right.
And
yes.
So sometimes they do.
So, and they bard about.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
The halls of nobility?
Yeah. So, okay. I mean, how often if a bard comes to town, like a truly famous bard.
Oh, you just mean in general?
Yeah, like, okay. Come to my castle, put on a show, my banquet.
I was almost like, why isn't this proper noun? It sounded so proper noun-y, like the halls of, like, this should be something I know.
Oh, no, it's the halls of nobility in general.
Yes, yes, just like, they'll let you into their castle.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
Free of charge.
For
they'll
sure.
Let you sleep there.
I was so fucking confused right now. I was like, what is this new place in D&D?
No, it's not like a specific place, no.
Okay.
So that's all I have in Yolklos. We'll go over the stat block momentarily, but do you have questions before we take a short rest?
What do you think a Yolklo sounds like when they laugh out loud?
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify is great. They're taking businesses of all sizes, cradling them in their arms to help them grow by giving them the tools they need. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success at every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/dungeoncast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/dungeoncast now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/dungeoncast.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system. So wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Is that the human form?
No, that's definitely the ooze form. I thought
that's
that was
a ooze form. Okay, yeah. Give me a spider form.
No.
I'll do it. I'll do
a
it.
A chittering.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a short rest.
All right. We've returned.
Indeed we have.
We are back.
Indeed
we're in
we
the
are.
Back half of these Yolklos episode.
Not the back half of the Yolklo.
Yeah, the backwoods of the Yolkles.
So you're going to tell me all about the stat block.
I am. I have the stat block in front of me. You know, you're flipping through the books and you see these images of these monsters. And then you get this lore dump that we get in this episode about mm-hmm. it. I was like, dude, mm-hmm. I've seen this monster for years so many times, and oh, I yeah. never knew that it was...
I think it's a pretty iconic D&D monster, yeah.
Yeah, it was so in-depth, and yeah, it's a demon and everything, but it just looks like a tree, like a big yellow tree with an eyeball in it. That's pretty
I
cool.
I guess it has some tree-likeness to it.
It is goopy, right? Yeah. Like, I see, like, the stringy goopiness coming
off
of it.
Here's one that's not very tree-like.
Oh, my.
Yeah, it's, like, halfway between the two forms.
That's... What an interesting piece of art. Mm-hmm. That is indeed, okay. Indeed, well, I have no idea where that's from, but it's definitely not out of the D&D book.
It's, I think it's from a third edition. Thing.
I see. So a D&D book.
Yeah, I'm trying to find the stat block, but Google is not.
I'll get started on this one. Well, if you guys, sorry, we forgot to do our little post short rest plug. After you take a nap, you should figure out how to support us.
Indeed.
Right now, we're kind of focused on iTunes reviews. Those ones are super cool.
And Patreon, of course.
And always Patreon. Patreon.com/thedungeoncast is where you can go to support us monetarily. We really appreciate it. You get some cool benefits out of it, like getting to see episode notes, early episodes, weekly newsletters, patron-voted top episode topics.
Yep.
Yeah, people chomping at the bit.
New shows coming out, Earlier Access to Omega and Unhallowed. We are recording our first episode soon.
There's Omega stuff out now. Yeah. And we're finally recording all these shows we've been talking about for a while now, but it's happening. It's always a long pre-production is a long process. Mm-hmm. It takes a lot of work. It's a huge part of any show. That's something not a lot of people get to see about what we do here, but it does take a ton of work to get a new project going. So thanks for being patient with us and thanks for supporting us wherever you choose to do it. Like, subscribe, all that stuff. We really appreciate all of it. So thank you guys so much. Yokels are medium fiends. They're demons and shape changers of chaotic evil.
Yes.
They have an armor class of 15. Natty. Their HP is 136. That's 16d8 plus 64. Their speed is 30 feet of regular walking, and they also have 30 feet of climbing speed. Strength is a plus 2. Dex, plus 2. Con, plus 4. Intelligence, plus 1. Wisdom, plus 2. And charisma, plus 2.
They're very sturdy.
Boof. Boof. Big buff. Con. Buff stat. Boof is a different thing. Buff stat block. Challenge rating is 10. I want to skip ahead just to get like a touchstone. It's strange that that's so far down the block. I've always thought that.
Yeah, I feel like it should be right up top. Yeah. I agree. Because oftentimes as a DM, I'm looking for like something within a specific CR range, and it's just in such an awkward place that it slows down my perusing.
The encounter builder in D&D Beyond lets you filter by CR, and that's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool. So saving throws, we got Dex plus 6, Intelligence plus 5, Wisdom plus 6, and Charisma plus 6.
Good All saves. Respectable, yeah.
They're skilled in deception, which is a plus 10, and insight, which is a plus 6.
Tracks with the lore pretty well, I think.
They resist cold, fire, lightning, bludgeoning, piercing, and slashing from non-magical attacks. They're immune to being poisoned.
Big surprise.
They have damage immunity to poison. They can't take damage from poison or become the poison condition.
Yes.
Two different things. Senses. They have dark vision of 120 feet with a passive perception of 12. These are going to be mainly Underdark demons, I feel like.
Yeah, you're going to find them in the Underdark or the Abyss 99% of the time.
Yeah, so they only go cloud form above the surface where they become farts. Languages, Abyssal, Elvish, and Undercommon, which is all tracks.
All tracks.
Challenge rating, like we said earlier, is 10. It's going to yield 5,900 experience points. Proficiency bonus is a plus 4. Do you use the proficiency bonus like outside of the stat block in any way? Like, I don't know. I feel like everything you need is baked in. Why label the proficiency bonus?
I mean, okay. Labeling the proficiency bonus is important if you're adding anything.
Okay.
Or like, let's say this particular Yokel, for example, maybe it's also trained in perception and something else that isn't in the stat block. That if you want to calculate it, you would use the proficiency bonus with the
Okay, cool.
The skill
so
stuff, it,
yeah. this is a throw, not a throw in, it's written in there so that you can homebrew effectively.
Yes.
And exactly. Know what to kind of gauge its right. abilities at.
It's important that it's there, especially considering 5e is really big on like quote unquote putting the reins in the hands of the DM, which is like actually really controversial in a lot of ways, in understandable ways too. But yeah, without that, it would suck because like you need to be able to homebrew in this game because like quite frankly, nothing is tuned up as much as it should be, in my opinion.
Same. Yeah. I think we've come to that conclusion multiple times.
Yeah.
Shape changer. The Yokel can use its action to polymorph into a form that resembles a female drow or giant spider. I like how, or back into its true form. I like how they say it's a polymorph.
So they have axed gas form. Already we've reached a point where 5e has axed something from the lore.
Yeah. Any equipment it's wearing or carrying is not transformed. It reverts to its true form or it dies. it reverts to its true form if it dies.
Or it dies.
Whoops. Okay, magic resistance. The Yokel has advantage on saving throws against spells and other magical effects. Very cool. Spider climb. The Yokel can climb difficult surfaces, including upside down on ceilings, without needing to make an ability check.
Mm-hmm.
Something lots of warlocks get to do, like things that obey demon lords, I guess. Innate spell casting. The Yokel's spell casting ability is charisma. Spell save DC is 14, right? Because they're bards. Mm-hmm. The Yokel can innately cast the following spells requiring no material components. At will, detect thoughts and web. And once a day, it can dominate person.
Now, I find this lackluster. Like, we just talked about in the lore how many Yokels, like, become sorcerers and bards. Like, mm-hmm. I just feel like there should be more spells.
There should be. And piggybacking off of what you said about nothing being tuned up quite enough, go ahead and add some.
Yep.
The warlock spell list is probably a great place to start.
Yeah, I would say so, yeah.
For the demon stuff, mm-hmm. anyway. There's mm-hmm. going to be some, like, whatever, you know, they give you the standard. Here's what you get as a warlock outside of your chosen spell list. Yeah.
Also, an enchant wizard is another good one because a lot of enchantment spells.
That's true. I feel like the enchantment stuff is interesting because elves have resistance against that sort of thing. So does that imply that they're good at it? They're like, they can resist it and then do it good?
I mean, I think in the lore, yeah, there's a lot of enchanter elves, sorcerers. So maybe, but I don't know. I never really thought about it.
They get a multi-attack. The Yokel makes two melee attacks. Those melee attacks, the first one is a slam or a bite in spider form, but they're going to stat the same. Melee weapon attack with +6 to hit, a reach of 5 feet, 10 feet in their demon form. One target, it's going to hit for 5 or 1d6 +2 bludge. That's bludgeoning. I shouldn't just say bludge. Bludgeoning. Piercing in spider form. And then the damage is going to be +21.
Or 66
poison damage.
Nice.
So we're not very good against fighting each other.
No, definitely not. Definitely not.
Mist form. So is that it?
We have a mist form. We're back to gas form.
Just do, it's multi-attack. It's just the slam or bite. So it just does either two slams or two bites.
I mean, that tracks for like its physical abilities. The Yokel is supposed to have those physical abilities, but plus all the spellcasting stuff.
Yes. Typically, when you have a multi-attack, there's two different. I know there's a slam and a bite, but I would figure like, there'd be a slam and a, I don't know, something else. There's usually two things there to multi-attack with.
Well, I don't know. I think a lot of monsters, especially the not higher level ones, their multi-attack is just two of the same thing. Okay. Two spear attacks, two sword attacks, that's two slams.
I guess it's fine.
Yeah.
Like when you look at the fighter.
Yeah.
All right, mist form. The Yokel transforms into toxic mist or reverts its to its true form. Any equipment it is wearing or carrying is also transformed. It reverts to its true form if it dies. While in mist form, the Yokel is incapacitated and can't speak. It has a fly. Let's look at incapacitated.
Yeah, right, incapacitated.
When you're incapacitated, a creature can't take actions or reactions.
Okay, so how it says it has a flying speed of 30 feet. Well, what the fuck is the point of that if you're incapacitated?
Well, you can move.
Oh, I guess movement isn't an action. Okay,
right. Yeah. It's your move action, right? Yeah, but it's not an action.
Okay, gotcha.
It has a flying speed of 30 feet, can hover, and can pass through any space that isn't airtight. It has advantage on strength, dexterity, and constitution saving throws, and is immune to non-magical damage. Now, why would it get advantage on a strength saving throw? On any of the on strength or dex saving throw.
I think the idea here is that because whatever is trying to like out strength you is passing through you instead.
Right, but like the fact that you wouldn't just auto succeed it,
it's a little weird. Yeah.
It's a little weird, but okay. While in mist form, the Yokel can enter a creature's space and stop there. Each time that creature starts its turn with the Yokel in its space, the creature must succeed on a DC 14 constitution saving throw or be poisoned until the start of its next turn. While poisoned in this way, the target is incapacitated.
Oh, wow. That's okay. That's pretty.
That's good.
Yeah, that's potent right there.
It also tracks with like the whole spy thing.
I'm going to knock you out.
I just want to become this innocuous cloud. You know?
Yeah, yeah. And like hover above and out of sight. But also just like you're fighting this thing that suddenly turns into gas. You can't hurt it and it envelops you and suddenly you're incapacitated.
Yeah, that would be funny to like there's a Yokel like in its whatever physical form you want.
Mm-hmm.
And it moves out of your sight into a different chamber. You follow it And, you know, maybe you're in the Underdark, so everything's very dark, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Can't see. And then you walk in and there's like, there's nothing in here. And mm-hmm. all of a sudden you're incapacitated.
Love it. That's
crazy cool. stuff. Mm-hmm. That's a good trap. Nice yeah. trap. And now you're Lulz prisoner.
All right. So what do you think? What do you think of this stat block?
This is cool. This is not, when I look at this goopy tree with the eyeball in it, this is not what I thought this was. You know,
okay.
like
okay.
this doesn't like, you know, it's this big yellow thing. You don't, this thing doesn't scream Lulz. Dryders
it doesn't.
Scream Lulz.
Of course they do. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, drow scream Lulz. This doesn't look like either
of those. You
look
at that,
things.
It screams Jewelblex. For
I
sure.
Actually, yes. I actually really like the stat block.
It's cool. My only main
it's got
thing
some
is
pitfalls.
It needs a couple spells, I think. Like maybe charm person.
Mm.
Like give it charm person or what's another charming spell?
Like suggestion and
there we go.
You know, there's other shit. I can't think of it right
maybe
now.
A few
but
others like that.
I actually forgot. There's web walker. I was looking at this. I didn't say this part. It was underneath the spells. The yokel ignores movement restrictions caused by webbing.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah. So while it's in the webbed domains of Lulz, mm-hmm. like, yeah. Mm-hmm. I did some cool stuff in the Underdark one time where I was test playing for Super Quest Omega and with a group of buddies, and I had a big, empty, expansive, dark space that they had to, like, kind of aimlessly walk through with this, like, fire lantern that had this, like, blue demonic fire that was leading the way. They had to, like, get into this place with, like, a fucking, like, drows, had to, like, they cut a deal with one of the leaders of the group. They made like a sacrifice and let them in here. And they got approached by a big drider on a web that came down while they were sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
And I woke them all up and they were like, you know, face to face with this thing. And it like saw the fire or whatever. And was like, ah, cool. You're allowed in
oh,
here or whatever.
Oh, okay.
Some yokel shit would have been cool. Like to have little yokels like crawling along. Like,
yeah, that would have been cool too.
A big drider, lots of yokel like spider things going on. You're in the domain of Lulz in the Underdark. Yeah.
Scary
they were
shit.
Taking like a shortcut through the Underdark to get to a place.
But they were in the clear.
They were in the
That's
in the
cool.
clear.
That's interesting.
Yeah. The leader of that party ends up being the one that takes this like he knows these dark priestesses of Lulz or priests of Lulz or whatever. And I had it be Yzma and Kronk, so I was doing like a Patrick Warburton.
Wrong lever.
Yeah, so she kills Patrick Warburton.
Oh no.
She kills the Kronk.
Do you
guy.
Have a good Patrick Warburton impression?
I do. I don't think I can do it right now. Yes, I do have a good Patrick Warburton.
You're gonna have to show it to
there
me.
There's high level Patrick Warburton
yeah.
and low level Patrick
yes,
Warburton.
Yes, yes.
And I can do the in between one pretty good.
Oh, okay, for sure. I'd have to hear it. But
yeah,
I love his
I can
voice,
do the
so.
high one too.
Yeah.
Okay. I always have to It's me, Patrick Warburton. I have to like start with that.
You got to warm up the vocals.
I definitely had to work on it before I did it.
Okay, for sure.
For a while,
sure.
yeah. So the priestess kills Kronk
uh-huh.
and brings him back to life to
Kronk
give
is
them
one
the
of my favorite characters.
The, yeah, Kronk's so good.
yeah,
gives them the thing they need. I would have loved to have added the yokels in there, but I only have
you didn't know about.
I
it.
Only have what we've talked about at my disposal.
Yeah, which is 300 episodes worth plus.
right, and
but,
now
you know we haven't covered everything.
Now I get to pocket yokels again. Yeah.
Just wait till 6th edition comes out. And we're starting over.
Oh my god, the one there can only be one D&D.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, keep an eye out for our one D&D episodes. We're gonna do more of them. Let us know if
as unearthed arcanas
it.
Unearth themselves.
That's right. So they become unearthed. We're finally covering unearthed arcana on the show.
Yeah.
But it's so big we can't ignore it.
Indeed.
Let's get ready for a long rest.
Get ready for a long rest.
Shout out to Hey everybody, welcome to the Long Rest. This is a part of the episode where we say thank you. Oh, I should get Patreon shout outs up, huh?
Oh, yeah,
I did not
yeah,
do
yeah.
that. Will, do you want to talk about like stuff while I do that?
Okay. Yeah, one of the best ways that you can support us is of course on Patreon. We try and provide as much content on there as we can, early episodes, my weekly newsletter where I talk about D&D stuff, updates on projects, a lot of stuff about the book Star Seeker's Guide to the Galaxy, which we are working very hard on. And if you can't support us there, you know, the next best thing is just spread the word, maybe write a review, subscribe, all that other stuff. We ask you guys to do that because it truly helps. And since I've taken the plunge to become, quote unquote, fully self-employed, every bit of help really literally makes a difference in my household on the day to day. So we appreciate it. And we're going to shout out all you guys here, all the newcomers and re-uppers and returners on Patreon.
I think we're actually going to have to wait.
Oh, shit. False start.
All the stuff Will
what
said.
What is this show?
All the stuff Will said is true, but
that's
true. I think we might not have an updated list of shoutouts.
Okay. Well, in that case,
we'll have to get to it next time.
We will
time.
Get to you guys next time.
Yeah. Sorry about that. But Will's right. Like all that stuff, being a supporter on Patreon helps a lot. It does make a big difference in our lives. It not only helps Will directly and his household, but it also helps us make new shows.
Indeed.
And do new projects. Super Quest Saga is a direct result of that. And now that's going to have its own Kickstarter book.
Yeah.
Which you guys also helped fund. So thank you guys so much. We are working on Omega and Unhallowed right now, simultaneously, side by side.
We have the art piece for the new yearly patron, what's the word, exclusive.
Yeah, our yearly exclusive item. Last year was a shout out to Demogorgon t-shirt. We got like a custom thumbnail made with Demogorgon art.
Yeah, this year, really cool. I'm going to let it be a surprise. Wait till it's finished. But the art piece is being commissioned as we speak.
Yeah, we actually have two things, I think, because we're still doing the other one, right?
You'll have to remind me.
I will.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I William. And then, iTunes reviews, super helpful. If you guys want to leave a 5-star review on there, that's a great alternative to, it's something you can do that's impactful and it doesn't, you know, take any money from anybody. So that's super helpful if you guys want to do that. And just telling people about the show. Last episode, or we're not supposed to say that anymore. We recently shouted out everybody in Chicago that has been helping us out. We're still looking at you, Chicago. Chi-Town, hit us up. Let us know. And
to be our biggest cluster of fans.
You're the biggest
growing.
You're the biggest cluster of fans out there, and we really appreciate you guys. So thank you. We appreciate all of you everywhere that listen to the show. We talked about the new Patreon merch coming through. We talked about we mentioned the new live play stuff we've got going on. Flashbang and the Surgeon is going to be out on the feed probably by the time this airs.
I hope so.
It should have been already.
Yeah.
Check us out on social stuff like Discord.
We got a Twitter, we got a Discord, we got an Instagram. We're on all those things. If you're on those things, come check us out and add us on those things.
Yeah, or hit me up on the gram, BNDND20. That's where I'm at. Less confusing. Finally nailed it down. BNDND20. That's Brian in Dungeons and Dragons, and then the number 20, because that kind of makes sense, like a D20.
Yeah, there we go.
I don't know. There was not a lot of options available to me, and that was one of the best ones.
I mean, I probably I don't have social media, I don't have an Instagram, but if I did, I'd probably be like William at TDC or William TDC or TDC Will.
Yeah, I mean, like the Apple command what's available. Yeah.
Interesting.
All right, guys, we're gonna call it a game.
We'll call it a game. We'll talk to you guys later.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk turned traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.